Welcome to this podcast from Control Risks, the specialist global risk consultancy. The distressing scenes in the eastern Ghouta district of Damascus remind us that despite the much vaunted routing of Islamic State, the Syrian conflict still rages on at terrible cost. Indeed, while news from other parts of Syria is scarce by comparison, fighting still affects much of the country. That said, companies from across the world are now looking at the opportunities for doing business in the vast range of reconstruction work that needs to be done. This is not something to be undertaken lightly. Government involvement in alleged war crimes in eastern Ghouta are just the latest in a series of serious accusations and should also remind businesses of the considerable legal and reputational risks associated with any foray into the reconstruction of Syria. The scale of work may be vast, but whether in areas held by Western-backed rebel forces, other rebels, or government-held territory, the risks are many. All sides in the conflict face serious accusations of war crimes and human rights abuses. Then there are conflicting governance structures, economic collapse, damaged or destroyed infrastructure, and wide-ranging sanctions that make operating in Syria extremely challenging. I'm joined now by Andrew Freeman, lead Syria analyst here at Control Risks, and also by Tania Ildefonso, one of our special risks analysts. Andrew, if I could start with you, could you address the issue of reputational risk when it comes to a business thinking about working in Syria now?
Companies, when they're operating in Syria, will have to understand that, especially when operating as the conflict continues, that there will be occasions when opposition forces and the government are accused of war crimes, are accused of human rights abuses, and provoking humanitarian crises across the country. And I think that companies need to understand that this is a conflict, and that working in that environment is going to inherently pose reputational risks, whoever you're dealing with. Foreign companies operating in Syria are going to have to understand that they have very little leverage over how the government or opposition fighters act during the conflict. However, the way that those fighters and the government act and whether they conduct human rights abuses or other war crimes is going to be perceived badly within the media and within the wider international community. And in some cases, by operating in Syria and thereby improving economic development and bringing money into the country, There will be claims that those foreign companies operating in the country are to some extent legitimizing the actions of the government and legitimizing the actions of opposition groups should they also look to operate in that area as well. There is also a lack of consistent rule of law across Syria, both within opposition-held areas and within government-held areas. There's no guarantee that a permit to work or a license to work that is issued in Damascus will be applied or acknowledged in opposition-held territories, for example. And that lack of rule of law will continue to pose contract, regulatory, and non-payment risks for companies operating in Syria.
Now, Tania, as I was referring to in the introduction, Islamic State has now lost over 90% of the territory it used to control in Syria. Does this translate into a decrease in the kidnap-for-ransom threat in the country?
Indeed, Islamic State territorial losses have eroded the group's operational capabilities in Syria, resulting in a decline in the kidnapping for ransom threat posed by the group in some areas of the country. Nevertheless, we assess that the threat will remain extreme in areas where Islamic State still has a presence, that is, a few villages along the Euphrates and some nearby the Sirte, as well as isolated pockets in other parts of the country. We believe that the group will retain its intent and capability to orchestrate abductions there for both financial and propaganda purposes. The group is desperate. Also, we assess that the kidnap for ransom threat will remain extreme in some northeastern and southern areas of the country where other Sunni extremist groups operate, particularly in the governorates of Idlib and Daraa, where, as you know, Al-Qaeda's former branch in Syria and other rebel groups operate. Of course, and the kidnap for ransom threat in these areas will continue to pose a major challenge to both NGOs operating in the country and foreign companies seeking to invest in its reconstruction, which, by the way, the World Bank estimates will cost more than $200 billion. However, we believe that the threat in the rest of the country will be slightly lower in 2018, permitting a continued aid response and allowing some business opportunity.
Yeah, I wanted to pick up on that, because what about the threat in government-controlled areas of kidnap for ransom?
We know that in some areas controlled by the government, led by President Bashar al-Assad, as you know, we've seen there a perceived improvement in the security environment. And this has motivated thousands of Syrian refugees to return home. This has led NGOs to scale up their operations to address the initial needs of these refugees. Also, we know that foreign companies, chiefly Russian and Chinese, are participating in the reconstruction of infrastructure in these areas. These NGOs and companies, however, face the kidnap for ransom threat that stems from financially motivated criminal groups of varying capability. We have high capability, medium capability, and then petty thieves and low capability criminal groups operating there. So even in those areas where there is a perceived improvement in the security environment, we know that the kidnap for ransom threat remains a very significant concern.
Okay, so clearly a complex picture in kidnap for ransom in all parts of Syria, but what does this mean for companies who are looking to go into this country and do some business there?
First of all, and most importantly, the situation in Syria is not static. And as a result, the kidnap for ransom threat is not static either. The situation on the ground changes on a daily basis. As the conflict develops, criminal and militant groups will adapt to changes in their operating environments. The areas that these groups populate and are able to operate in will change according to both developments on the ground and those in the political arena. And so will the kidnap for ransom threat there. It will change on a daily basis. So closely following these developments is vital. I cannot stress enough how vital this is. And second, which is also very important, NGOs and companies seeking to operate in Syria will need to adjust their risk mitigation strategies according to these developments on the ground. The kidnap for ransom threat in Syria is diverse. Many actors operate in Syria, as you said, and they all have their own interests and modus operandi. So NGOs and companies need to follow developments on the ground on a daily basis, learn which groups operate where, which are the modus operandi of these groups, and adjust their risk mitigation strategies accordingly.
Okay, Tania Ildefonso, thanks very much for that. If I can move to you now, Andy. Of course, the kidnap for ransom threat is just part of a really broad and complex security situation in Syria. Can you characterize that for companies who are looking to operate? And I guess you have the situation whereby there are government-controlled areas, rebel-controlled areas, different rebels, Kurdish areas, and so on. It's a really complicated picture, isn't it?
Yes, it's very complicated. And as you and Tania have both mentioned, the situation is highly fluid and very complex, largely as a result of the different actors with competing aspirations and ideologies, some of which are radical, operating in Syria. And what that's really meant from a political transition perspective is that even where we are seeing some minimal, albeit superficial, progress towards a political transition, that doesn't translate into any de-escalation on the ground in Syria, especially in areas that are strategic for various actors like Idlib province, where we've seen over the past month various airstrikes and allegations of chemical weapons by various groups.
So outside the security issues, what else should organisations and companies be thinking of if they want to operate in Syria?
There are a number of other risks outside of the security environment. The first of which is the reputational aspect. Who are you going to be working with? And where are you going to be working in Syria? As a result of the security environment and the various backers in Syria, both for the government and within opposition groups, even within Syria itself, you're going to be viewed very differently as a company based on where you choose to operate and who you choose to operate with. So companies really need to understand that aspect of the conflict when they're looking to operate there. Notwithstanding any of the issues outside of Syria and the wider sort of international perception that you may face by, say, operating in government-controlled areas versus operating in areas of the control under Kurdish groups, for example.
Also, clearly, a number of parties to this conflict are under sanctions of one sort or another. How does an organisation, a company, navigate this risk?
I think I would go back to my earlier point about knowing who you're going to be working with. There are widespread US and EU sanctions, mostly directed towards government officials and businessmen, which also target various sectors of the Syrian economy, which partly explains some of the economic collapse, notwithstanding the damage to infrastructure because of the actual conflict itself. So understanding the ties within the Syrian business community, how that gets back to the government and how those businesses are tied to various officials is very, very important for looking to operate in Syria. And I think that companies that look to operate there will really need to understand the business environment, who you're going to be working with, and those influential and key businessmen in Syria that are not sanctioned at the moment but still have a very large level of influence and impact on what comes in and out of Syria from a business and an import and export perspective.
Okay, that's Andrew Freeman here at Control Risks. Thank you very much for your input, and also to Tania Ildefonso, one of our special risks analysts here at Control Risks. And thank you all for listening to this podcast. We will, of course, be keeping across the situation in Syria. We monitor it on a daily basis through our core platform online and on our website. So stay tuned to what we're producing here at Control Risks. Thanks very much. Bye for now.